Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is Nerd Nuptial. Today we are talking about Spider-Man Far From Home, the latest Marvel release, and we got to see it on a 4th of July weekend.
Yeah, actually we went for your birthday.
We did. I'm born. It's like one of those.
Your one-man show.
Yeah, exactly. Like one of those one-man shows. We got a Jesus light on me.
I am born.
Three people are in the theater.
I would be there, babe.
I know you would, but you'd only go to the first show. Then you'd be like, I'm good.
This is all you.
But yes, I was born on the day after Independence Day in the United States. And so that's what I wanted for my birthday. As my birthday present, I was like, I want to go to a stupid Marvel film. And I want to go to CMX so I can eat.
Yes.
I want to have a meal while I'm eating this
food.
Movie.
Yes. It's a beautiful thing.
So we went, yes, and we had a great 4th of July. For those of you outside of the States, it's when we celebrate our independence, in case you don't know. yes, but it was a lot of fun, a lot of fireworks, a lot of family, a lot of food, and Spider-Man.
That's right. All things American.
All things American, that's right. I mean, except it's played by a Brit.
I was going to say, if it was Captain America, it would make a little more sense.
And apparently Steve Rogers was born on the 4th of July, because, I mean, why not?
Of course,
why
of not? Course.
But yes. So Spider-Man Far From Home, we're going to do our normal kind of structure where we talk about what we thought about the film before we saw, like what we were expecting to see from the film, then kind of give our general impressions of the film, what we liked, what we didn't, non-spoiler territory, and then we'll announce when we get into spoiler territory. So if you haven't seen it yet, you can keep on listening.
Yeah.
You can absolutely keep on
listening. Yeah, absolutely.
And we'll let you know
when
it's time to turn off the podcast and listen to something else or go see it and then listen to the rest of the podcast.
That's right.
All right. So Spider-Man Far From Home. First, actually, I want to talk to you about, like, we had a Spider-Man podcast a while back where we talked about all the Spider-Man films on film. Like, basically, every time Spider-Man has been on film, we've talked about that.
So right.
I'll link that in the notes to this podcast. So if you go to thenerdparty.com/nerdnuptial and the latest release, this one, Spider-Man Far From Home.
We had, like, a Spider-Man marathon, essentially.
Yeah, we did. Like, we watched all the Raimi films, all the ones with Andrew Garfield, and, of course, the MCU ones, you know, including Homecoming, Civil War, and that was it at the time. Infinity War.
Yes.
Because that came out, right?
Yes.
Yes, at the time. We,
I think so.
Mm-hmm. I think so, because Infinity War came out last year.
Right.
But yeah, so I'll link that in the notes. It's definitely worth a listen. We won't do that again, obviously, but it's good listening because we like Spider-Man. But before we get into what you were hoping to get out of Far From Home, let's talk about Homecoming.
Okay. Yes.
Just a little bit, because that was the first solo Spider-Man film in the MCU, not Marvel,
right?
Just in the MCU,
right? With this Spider-Man, Tom Holland,
and everything like that. So,
yeah,
like we've talked about Homecoming a lot.
Yeah, we have. We didn't go into theaters to see it. We kind of skipped it. We were like, it didn't really appeal to us to go to the theater to see it. I don't know why at the time.
Just... Well, a lot of people were saying that it wasn't worth it.
A lot of people were saying
that it wasn't good. It was just like a mediocre film,
right? And so we put it off until it came out on streaming, and so we watched it and we were like, this is so great.
Like we were like
this made some of our top 10 of the year.
Hells yeah. Like,
yeah,
it was, we were blown away at how much we enjoyed Homecoming. Like, I think it helped because everyone downplayed it by saying
it's not good,
don't worry about it, it's not worth anything. Like, the best thing I heard was just like, it was mediocre.
Right.
That's the best thing I heard about Homecoming.
Which is really interesting because I guess, like, when you go in with very low expectations, sometimes when they're met, you're just like, oh my gosh, yeah. Like, more than met. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for me, it is... at the time, was my favorite Spider-Man film.
Okay.
Ever.
Okay.
And even when Into the Spider-Verse came out, I was like, this is great, but I still like Homecoming more. Now, you liked Into the Spider-Verse more than Homecoming. Oh,
way more. Yeah. Yeah, way more. But that being said, I do think that if you're, you know, live action, it was my favorite.
That's your mm-hmm. So Homecoming is your favorite live action Spidey film.
Yes, yes.
All right. So going into it then, like you obviously you loved Homecoming, you mm-hmm. loved Tom Holland.
Yeah.
He was a great Peter as well as a great Spider-Man, which was a kind of a hard balance.
Right, right.
That we've seen in the past.
And they didn't do, you know, in Homecoming, they didn't do the whole backstory.
No, that was
nice. It was very much like he already was Spider-Man, just not the Spider-Man that he became. Like, we saw him become into his own, become part of the Avengers mm-hmm. versus, like, you know, figuring out, you know, like, Uncle Ben didn't die and stuff like that.
Right, which was a criticism for some people, mm-hmm. not for us.
Right, we were like, we've seen that done too many times, we're good, we can move on.
Uncle Ben's dead, we know he's dead, yes. It's okay.
Right, right.
So with loving Homecoming so much and loving Tom Holland and loving him in the MCU and everything like that, and also with the Russo brothers saying that this was the wrap-up of the Infinity Saga.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Russo brothers said, like, Endgame is not the final film of the last phase, that this one is. So going in, loving Homecoming so much, knowing it's the final movie of the Infinity War saga, what were you expecting or hoping to see with Far From Home?
Well, I think I was just fine with it being Homecoming 2. Like, just the same idea of him being a teenager and trying to figure it out and being awkward with girls and, you know, having a nerdy best friend and everything mm-hmm. like that. And, like, keeping it more small, like, where it was in, you know, him being the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Like, I was totally fine with it being that kind of film. It's kind of like when Deadpool 2 came out and I was just like, I just want Deadpool again. And that's what I got. That's kind of what I wanted here, where I just wanted, like, another one.
But with it being Spider-Man Far From Home.
Right. You knew that it was going to be in a different place.
Right.
Yes. I think I was just looking for a fun ride and the same characters, which we kind of talked about because of the
Jumanji sequel.
Oh,
that's
no,
not what we were talking about?
No,
okay, sorry.
Not even a little.
I didn't even read you.
The blip. Because of the blip, geez, we were talking.
I totally misread you.
Because of the blip, we were like, well, will his friends still be there? Like, how does that work? And, you know, because he went to dust and then came back. But they did, you know, not giving anything away, that they do address that. That, you know.
Oh, yeah, we're totally not
yeah,
giving
we're not
anything
giving
away.
Anything away. But, like, you know, the idea that people basically have to, like, keep, you know, like, you still have to go to school.
Like, 5 years yeah. have passed for them.
So their friends are 5 years older, but they come back as the same age.
But the thing is, like, what we talked about was, like, when we did our wrap up on Endgame and we knew Far From Home was coming out, like, we both said, like, oh, I'm pretty sure that their friends are all going to be yeah. conveniently snapped.
Right, exactly. Like, the friends that we care about will still be there.
Yes.
Interesting.
Because we can't age them 5 years
yes.
more than everybody else. Like, that was weird. Like, so in the film continuity, they're calling it blipped.
The blipped, yeah. Yeah.
They got blipped or the blip and right. everything like that. And I was like, why wouldn't you just say snapped? Like, I don't, I guess, okay. Like, that was the first thing that popped up in my head. I was just like, just call it, like, we all call it being snapped. Like, just do that.
Well, if you're not in that universe, you don't know what you would call it.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's like The Walking Dead. You call them walkers and not zombies or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, you don't know. Live there.
I didn't like
you
the whole
blipped.
Blip thing. I want it just
you
snapped.
You just don't like the word blipped?
Yeah, it seems cheesy to me. Like, it seems okay. immature.
We are talking about a comic book film, but that's okay.
No, I know. It's. I'm not saying I have a hang up over it. I'm just saying, meh. But then I moved on. It was
have
that
you?
Sense of, yes. It was that sense of, oh, that's stupid, and then I just forgot about it.
Until now,
but yeah. So blip is what they call it, being blipped, and there were some interesting jokes that went around that, like drinking age and people pretending to be blipped when they weren't,
right,
you know, like things
right,
like that.
Exactly.
I thought that was hilarious. But like with me with Far From Home, thanks for asking. I felt like
sorry.
It was honestly, I had no idea what to expect.
Mm.
I really didn't. And I'm not saying that as a cop out. I just I thoroughly had no idea what to expect, even though I liked Homecoming as much as you did, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have those same... I didn't have the expectation to like it as much as Homecoming.
Okay.
Because Homecoming was such a surprise, I was like, there's no way. There's okay. no way I'm going to like Far From Home as much as Homecoming. And so my expectations were actually kind of low.
Well, and I also think maybe we're in a post-Endgame MCU too, where you're like, well, you know, you had Infinity War and Endgame, so like, it's okay if they calm it down a little bit in mm-hmm. their, you know, side stories. So I think that like we didn't have obviously the same anticipation or, you know, maybe even expectation that
build up
we would have for Infinity War Endgame.
Oh God,
by
no.
any means,
no, not even close.
You know, it's just like, let's just have fun. Let's yeah. watch a fun movie.
And that's what I was hoping for. Like, mm-hmm. originally, I wasn't even going... I might... Like, if this wasn't around my birthday, maybe I wouldn't have gone and seen this
okay.
in the theater, honestly.
Okay.
But because it was my birthday,
yeah,
I was like, well, we got to do something. So let's go see a movie.
Yes.
Like, and, like, yes. this is what's... It was, like, basically this or Toy Story 4.
Yes.
And I still wasn't sure if we were going to take Ripley to right, go see Toy Story
right,
4 or not.
So.
So, yeah. Far From... That was me. Far From Home. I'm just like, I know I'm not gonna like this as much as Homecoming, but hopefully it's entertaining.
Yeah.
You know, like, maybe I'll be surprised. I had a few trepidations about Jake Gyllenhaal being in the movie.
Yes, you did.
Even... I love Jake Gyllenhaal. Mm-hmm. I think he's a fantastic actor. Like, don't get me wrong here.
It's just putting him in this type of movie.
Felt weird. He felt out of place. Because, like, when we saw the trailers, it was just like, Spider-Man, MCU, Spider-Man. Hi, I'm Jake Gyllenhaal. You know, it's just... It took me out of it.
Okay.
It took me out of the experience.
Just doesn't feel like he belongs there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my okay. feeling. It like, people were cracking jokes about how Jake Gyllenhaal is like clearly he just needed to make like a rent payment or something, or a
like
mortgage
payment.
Like that
MCU money.
Yeah. He needed
that's
that.
That's honestly what I was going through in my head too. I was like, oh, he just wants a little piece of that MCU money.
Just get that one-off yeah. MCU money, and then he's going to go back to his indie films.
Yep.
And
yeah, exactly. Just got to pay the bills.
He's like, I got to get that summer home somehow.
That's right.
I'll do this for 3 months. It's no big deal. I can wear a stupid-ass costume. The fishbowl on my head.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So, we saw it.
We did.
That was our expectations, and then we saw it. First initial reactions. You're walking
without
out,
spoilers.
Without spoilers. You're walking out of the theater. You're going in. Like, also, by the way, our theater experience, we like to talk about our theater experience on mm-hmm. this show. The seats that we wanted were broken.
Yeah.
And then we had to move.
So they had to like move us.
They had to move us, and those are like the prime seats.
Yeah.
In the prime theater. And I remember during Endgame, the left side of the screen was way darker than the right. And this was during Endgame, so this was months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, I won't say anything because surely somebody else would have complained and surely they'll get it fixed by the next time I come in. No! It was... No! Same theater. And I'm pretty sure that, like, I saw another seat that was broken last time we were there.
Yeah.
And this is a premium theater.
And it's only been open for like a year. So
only a year. It's
I feel
a
like
CMX,
they're not taking care of it.
Dolby Atmos premium yeah. large screen, and you're giving me broken seats mm-hmm. and a dim screen just on the left
you're
side.
You're paying way too much for that type of thing.
And so I did go and complain, and I can't stand it. I can't stand dropping $40 for us to go see a movie, for the two of us to go see a movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even including snacks or food or drink or anything like that.
Right.
Just tickets.
Right.
And then getting a crappy screen that's supposed to be Dolby premium, blah, 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 blah. I demand a perfect experience every single time if I'm paying that kind of money. If I was going to like a crappy $6 AMC
yeah,
or something.
It's a little bit different.
Like
than
in the
paying.
Afternoon. Yeah, that's different.
It's true.
Regardless. Anyway.
End of rant.
Okay, so you're walking out of the theater.
Yeah.
You're walking to the car. You're digesting the movie. Knee-jerk reaction. Go.
That was okay.
Yeah.
That was all right. That was fun.
Like, oh, right. In what way? Like,
nothing like, blew me away.
Like, would you watch it again? Would you not
like,
watch it again?
I would watch it again, but probably just one more time. Like, I don't feel the need to own it,
mm-hmm.
you know, old style DVD. That's how I always compare it. Like, if I wanted it on my shelf, no, this is not one of those. Definitely was not as good as Homecoming, in my opinion. It had like the charm of the characters, which I think really is what makes the Homecoming and like this new version of Spider-Man. But it just was okay. Like, the plot was a little, I don't know, just it didn't really grab me. Mm-hmm. So even with the interesting locations of being overseas and, you know, him being on like a trip, it was just kind of like, all right, that we did that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I still like him as Spider-Man. I still like, you know, his friends and everything like that. You know, the cast I'm still good with, but it just kind of fell flat for me. And yeah, I would watch it again, but I don't really, if I didn't, I wouldn't be like heartbroken.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I probably liked it a little bit more than you did.
Okay.
But not much.
Okay.
Like, I'm talking like an inch more than you.
Okay.
Where, 'cause when I walked out, I was just like, okay, that's an entertaining movie. Mm-hmm. That's an entertaining movie. I wasn't going to say good movie, but that's an entertaining movie. I mean, as we've said so many times on this show, MCU gives you a base level entertainment quotient.
It's true.
This delivered that base level entertainment quotient.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say 95% of the time, Marvel does that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they deliver that with this. Parts of the movie went beyond that. I think there was a lot of great jokes. I think
we laughed a lot. Yeah.
We laughed a lot. We were smiling a lot. I thought there were some great fight scenes. I thought there was some fantastic choreography. I thought the camera work was probably some of the best Spider-Man camera work I've ever seen in any Spider-Man film.
Okay.
But there was a lot of lows.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of things that took you out of it. There was a lot of weird exposition.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, oh, we're monologuing now. Is this the 90s?
Yeah.
You know, like, is this the 80s? What's going on here?
Yeah.
And then there's this like, oh, well, okay, that was obvious. They weren't even trying to be clever there. You know, like certain things are like, wow, this is so boring. Or like, it's just like, it just kept going up and down where I feel like it started off really strong and really small and really quaint and really cute. And I mean that all in good ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it tried to get bigger, and when it went bigger and you got to the quiet moments were then boring.
Yes.
Compared to the quiet moments at the beginning. It was very disjointed.
Mm-hmm.
The plot was super thin.
Yes.
Super thin. One of the weakest antagonists.
Oh my gosh.
In the entire MCU. And that's saying something.
Yeah.
That is saying something.
That was really bad.
Because Marvel's known for having bad
guys. This one was like, do you even believe the reason why you're doing it?
Yeah. Oh, almost no motivation.
Yeah.
Or at least no clear motivation.
No.
At least not from the audience perspective.
No. It was very like, wow.
And here's the thing is that when you look at motivations, you can, when it comes to a bad guy, you can have, I think, let's look at superhero films here.
Okay.
So you can have two points of the spectrum. You have Thanos.
Mm-hmm.
Clear motivation.
Right.
Explains it, doesn't feel like exposition, but he explains it to the nth degree, saying, this is what I want to do, and this is how I'm going to do it. Does it really make sense in a real world perspective?
No,
but it that
but you
doesn't
accept
matter.
It.
But you accept it.
Right.
He said, I'm going to destroy half of all sentient life so that the others can survive. This needs to happen. They called me a madman. I don't care. Go screw yourself. This is my goal, and I'm going to do anything I can to make this goal happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's one side of the spectrum. That's pretty awesome.
Right.
You could also throw Killmonger in there.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Then you look at DC, look at the Joker, Heath Ledger's Joker, chaos.
Right.
That's his only motivation.
Right.
No clear motivation.
You can't rationalize crazy.
Exactly. And they explain that, you know, you had Alfred say like, some men just want to watch the world burn.
Right.
That's fine. It's not like, oh, I had a horrible childhood or my dad left me or no, none of that.
Right.
Like, it was just, I want to watch the world burn. I want chaos. Those are two sides of the spectrum, totally acceptable. What's not acceptable is in the middle.
Right.
And that is exactly where the antagonist was for Spider-Man.
I don't even know if it was on a line. It was just really poor. It was very poorly executed. And like I said, it was to the point where it was like, is this a joke? Like, does the character even believe their motivation? Like, it didn't feel like it.
Nope. It really didn't.
Yeah.
And then you had, and I was a little excited for Spider-Man to be working with Nick Fury on this.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, Nick Fury felt wasted and felt like a middleman.
Mm-hmm.
And which, I mean, I guess oftentimes Nick Fury is kind of the middleman mm-hmm. of the MCU. He's really just there to introduce you to other characters and new characters and kind of move the plot along.
But, except for in Captain Marvel.
Except for in Captain Marvel, yeah. And with this one, it just felt weird. It felt off. And
it felt like he didn't need to be there.
He really didn't need to be there.
Yeah.
He really didn't need to be there.
Same thing with Colby Smulders or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maria Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Maria always feels thrown in.
Oh, yeah.
Always feels thrown in. I mean, she's getting that Marvel cash. Good for her.
Yeah.
Because she's in a lot of Marvel films.
Yeah, absolutely.
But not once has she ever felt useful.
Like, she could be way cooler. Yeah.
And in the comic book, she's way cooler in the comic
books. Yeah, and it just feels like she's just there hanging out.
But what I did like.
Yes.
Was definitely the charisma of Tom Holland.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like it's almost The Rock-esque in his charisma, where if you throw The Rock in a bad movie, at least you get The Rock.
Right.
With Tom Holland, I feel like he is such a genuine, good character actor.
Very lovable.
Very lovable. Like, you want to see him succeed. Mm-hmm. You want to see him, you know, like, you want to see him do well. And that's what you need out of a Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Tom Holland excels, the rest of the movie excels.
Absolutely.
But he can only carry it so far.
Right.
And so that was definitely one
big plus. When you put a terrible antagonist in just a horrible plot, then what can you do?
Yeah. Like, a horrible antagonist with a thin motivation and a messy plot.
Yeah.
It's just, he can only carry it so far.
Yeah.
So what were some of the positives for you?
Well, without any spoilers, I mean, I really do think it was probably the chemistry of the characters again. I mean, and like you said, Tom Holland carries the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you love to see him succeed. He's like the lovable nerd. I have a place for lovable nerds.
Oh.
So I think that was really the only thing that I super enjoyed about it. Yeah, that for me, that was pretty much it. And like, I think the whole time for me, like, the plot twist wasn't really a plot twist because you knew the structure of a superhero film that like, this can't be just it. So, it was fun to see some locations overseas, you know, interesting locations, but still I think it got in the way of, like, honestly, I was totally fine in Homecoming. We were just like hanging out by the lockers.
I think that's why you and I really enjoyed the beginning of the film.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting that sense.
Yeah,
from you.
Absolutely.
I think my favorite part of the film was the first 10-15 minutes.
Yeah.
Because it was all in New York.
Yep.
Or it was just the core group of the high school students.
Right.
And
right.
So it felt like Homecoming. Where that's another positive for me is that, like, the stupid romantic stuff between Ned and the blonde girl was so much fun and so relatable because we've all seen that couple.
Yeah.
We've also seen these people who hook up on trips.
Yeah.
And
it's a fling.
And it's just a fling. And then, like, we've all had that plan on what we're going to say to the guy or to the girl.
Right.
We're going to get that necklace.
Well, I think that's so much of what they've made this Spider-Man into is just, like, skewing him. I mean, I know he's older than he looks, but they definitely have, like, tried to root him in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it always felt like they were going to the Bugle and stuff like that in the other Spider-Man films. different publication. So it felt like, oh, okay, we're staying in high school. We're staying mm-hmm. relatable. You know, we're keeping it young and very cutesy. And, I mean, like, we were just laughing so hard when they were showing, like, the high school TV montage of like saying goodbye to all the superheroes. And
yeah.
I was totally that blonde girl in my high school. Like I was the one who was doing like the announcement type mm-hmm. things. And so it's just so funny.
Everybody
like,
around you is Getty
images and stuff yes. like that. It's just hilarious. So, so relatable again, as well as, you know, the things like, hey, let's just go play games and stuff like that. So it just, when they take that part away, then it's just like, what do I care? I don't really care as much.
Here's the thing, and I think this is the fundamental flaw in Spider-Man in the MCU. Not Spider-Man and Marvel, Spider-Man in the MCU as it is established. We loved Spider-Man Homecoming because it was Spider-Man in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like Spider-Man in high school.
Yeah.
Now, you had a lot of Tony Stark in Homecoming.
Yeah, you did.
You had a lot of him bringing his influence and his big world to Spider-Man.
Right.
And Spider-Man couldn't hack it, or he felt like he couldn't hack it. Thus was the feeling of Spider-Man. Tom Holland as Spidey in the MCU, like when you have him in Civil War and Infinity War and everything like that, it's really just, okay, we're going to take this character and throw him in the sandbox and just see his personality interact with everybody else.
Right.
It's fine. You could sell that. You have a big world movie.
Right.
And then there you go.
He's one of many parts.
He's one of many parts. And, but when you have Far From Home, or I think Far From Home failed, was that you have your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man in a big world story.
Yes.
That doesn't work right now.
Right. Right.
And that's not true to the Spider-Man character, in my opinion. There are many different versions of Spider-Man in the comic books, in the movies, in the novel, everything. There's many different versions yeah. of Spider-Man.
But what they're doing right now.
But what they're doing right now. Like, what I like about Spider-Man is that he can have small stories. Now,
yes.
obviously, in the comic books, he does have big stories.
Yes.
So please don't write me. I understand that. I'm saying what I particularly like are the smaller Spider-Man
but that,
stories.
That's kind of a personal choice of this nerd nuptial, too.
Yes.
Like, the two of us tend to like smaller, less explosions, more focused on those like detective-like stories, or just keep it in New York where he is the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Right.
And, you know, but it's hard to go back. Like, he's been to space, they said, you know, like,
right.
So
and that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So like you had Homecoming, which was small, like we were dealing with an issue just around like Brooklyn and stuff like that. And then
the world was not going to explode.
The world was not going to explode. It was about like alien, like basically like a black market situation.
Black market alien
tech.
Right,
exactly.
Which in itself.
It's still big.
The fact that we're saying that out loud sounds ridiculous.
I know.
Because it's black market alien tech.
But it was localized.
It was, yes.
Right? And so.
Michael Keaton was not going to blow up the earth.
No.
Michael Keaton was not going to invade anything. He wasn't going to kill billions of people.
Exactly. Like, it was much more, I want to do this and you're preventing me from doing this and go.
And you're dating my daughter.
Exactly. Exactly. So the smaller, the better in that situation, but that's not how they've utilized him since. So he's been to space. He's been a part of the Avengers. He's had to fight off Thanos with them.
On an alien planet.
Right. Exactly. So how do you do that and go back? Like, you know, I could see a lot of fans being like, wait, he's just solving crimes in New York still, you know? So, but here's the thing is like, you know, take it to another level. Yeah, it's okay. Certain things don't need the Avengers. Like, mm-hmm. you know, apparently this problem didn't need some of the Avengers or whatever.
Well, they were all taking care.
Yeah, like, they were all busy.
Yeah.
Whatever. I hate that.
Just don't
when they do
it.
That. Just don't talk about it. Just like say, I just need you. Okay. But they have to because he's a part of the Avengers.
And because we all have seen every single Marvel film.
Exactly. So.
It's like when Ant-Man said, this is a job for the Avengers.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
I feel like he was the first one to really say.
Right.
Like,
right.
Why
like,
aren't we calling the
exactly,
Avengers?
Exactly. Like, can we please fix this?
And now we have to do it every single time.
Yes. Whereas it's okay for, but then keep the problem smaller mm-hmm. so that we don't feel like we have to bring in the Avengers.
There you go. Hey, look at that.
Yeah.
You should be in a writer's room.
Huh.
But I feel like Far From Home is those growing pains.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's trying to bridge that gap. It's trying to talk about how Tony Stark is dead.
Mm-hmm.
He was the leader. You
right.
know, like he was kind of the world. The world viewed him as the lead Avenger.
Cap's gone.
In Cap's gone. And
Black Widow's gone.
And so, yeah, you have those major players gone, and Thor's off world. And so, what's going on? And then you have Spider-Man, but Spider-Man 16. Spider-Man is the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Right.
And so Far From Home is trying to take you from those small world stories into the galactic universe that is the MCU.
Right.
On his own.
Right.
He's like, he is now a major player in the galactic MCU. And this, I think that's why it didn't work. I feel like that's why this movie didn't work, is because it tried to accomplish that. It had to accomplish that, or did it, you know? And
right. But I think when you go so big, like, it's hard to go back, right? Mm-hmm. You know, when you've gone from Infinity War and Endgame, all of the films after this are going to have a hard time explaining themselves.
I feel like with Spider-Man 3, that's going to be coming out, I'm sure it's going to come out, when we get to the spoiler territory, I feel like Spider-Man 3 will be a chance to go back to a smaller story if it deals with what I think it's going to deal with.
Okay.
But I can't say anything about it until we get to spoiler territory.
Okay. Well, do you want to get to spoiler territory?
I guess, yeah. Let's go ahead and do it because obviously you hear our thoughts about it.
Yes.
It's entertaining. Because it's Spider-Man, because it's MCU, mm-hmm. you get some great fighting moments. We like Tom Holland. You get some great fighting moments, some great superhero moments, but the plot is thin, the antagonist sucks, and yeah.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to spend the money to go see it in the theater, you can wait until Disney Plus comes out in November.
That's right. And spend your money on that.
And spend your money on that like we are going to. Okay, so spoiler territory. Here you go. From here on out, we're going to spoil things. We're going to talk about the ending. We're going to talk about the reveals.
Right.
You have been warned.
That's right. Spoiler territory.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The ending, the very, very end. Like, let's just jump to the end.
Because if
you're in spoiler territory, you've seen it. In the end, the post-credit sequence is J. Jonah Jameson,
mm-hmm.
Who played by J.K. Yeah. Simmons.
Right.
Which is insane.
Right. Which is crazy.
Like the guy from the Sam Raimi, J. Jonah yes. Jameson. And of course, people are going to be like, "What does that mean that they're linked?" No, screw. Just go screw. Just, they're not linked.
Just accept it.
It's just it's some fan casting. Move on. But he reveals the identity of Spider-Man as Peter Parker shows a picture of him, because apparently Mysterio, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, shows a fake video mm-hmm. of Spider-Man using the drone attack
right.
Against people, so right. trying to execute people, obviously, which is fake. And so that's why I think Spider-Man 3 could be a smaller film with him trying to clear his name or continue to be a good guy, even though the world hates him.
Absolutely.
And that you don't need aliens to try and destroy New York in order for that to happen.
Very true. I mean, and also that's a huge reveal. I mean,
Okay. Here's the thing though. I'm glad that you brought that up.
Okay.
Is a huge reveal in the comic books. In the MCU?
Well, we all know that Tony Stark was Iron Man, right?
Exactly. We knew Steve Rogers was Captain America. We knew Tony Stark
That's
was
Iron
Man.
That's true. That's a really good point.
We knew who Black Widow was.
But they all outed themselves.
Exactly. Yes, that's true.
So, yeah. Like, he didn't necessarily want to be. But that's
a fundamental thing. Like, that's actually when Civil War happened, the movie. That's one thing that a lot of people were wondering how they were going to, you know, like, how are they going to handle Civil War? Because in the comic books, a lot of it involved people, their secret identities being revealed.
Okay.
And Spider-Man, Peter Parker, in the original Civil War comics, him revealing himself to the world, he chose to do it. Tony Stark asked him to do it. That was a big deal. For Peter Parker to pull off his mask and say, "I'm Peter Parker, I'm Spider-Man."
Okay.
Huge deal. In the MCU,
it's not that big a deal.
It's not that big a deal because right. everybody knows everybody.
Well, and definitely got the impression that we're passing the torch from Tony Stark to Peter Parker.
How do you feel about that? I want to ask your opinion. I know I've been talking a lot, but I'm going to pass the torch on to you to speak because this has been, the Russo brothers said, this is the end of the Infinity War saga. This is the wrap up. And this is very much the passing of the torch from Iron Man kind of leading the MCU to Spider-Man leading the MCU. Whether, like, in the film franchise as well as within the MCU universe. How do you feel about that?
Well, I feel like it's a weird choice, but it's like, what other options do we have? although if they actually chose to utilize Captain Marvel properly, unlike they did in Endgame, I have issues. She would be a logical choice because at least she was like, you know, in the military or something like that. It's kind of like you everyone kind of, at least we did, accepted that Cap was like the leader in a way because he had some type of militaristic, you know, he had military training.
Yeah, he knew how to learn to lead a group.
Exactly.
In battle.
Whereas, you know, and Tony even would take his lead on that type of thing. And even though, you know, Tony Stark has this very charismatic personality that is, you know, larger than life in the room, he still understood when he didn't know better, right? Like, Cap knew better when it came to that, those type of things. Whereas giving it to a 16-year-old kid that hasn't even graduated high school yet and, like, you know, just figuring it out, like, that just seems a little silly to me. I did like the father-like relationship he had with Peter Parker, Tony and Peter had.
Mm-hmm.
But that's fine if you want to give him your tech. Yeah. But to make him like a leader in the MCU, like that just doesn't feel quite right to me.
This is, you and I talked about this a couple weeks ago about Mjolnir, about Thor's hammer.
Yes, yes.
And I'm going to tell a story and it's totally going to be applicable.
Okay.
So I saw a post online. Somebody was talking about, like, someone like made some fan art of Peter mourning Tony's death. And then Thor is there to console him. And then he, like, you know, and Peter's just like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can continue on. And we see that Peter accidentally picks up Mjolnir. And this was all fan art.
Okay.
It's fan art. It's okay. A fan story.
So it doesn't exist. It's
doesn't
just a
exist.
Fan's interpretation.
This wasn't in the comic books. This wasn't in anything. It was just a fan interpretation of what it could be fun. Then I saw somebody write a text post underneath it saying, and they were very respectful, but they said, they're like, that's not how Mjolnir works.
Mm.
Like, you do not have to be just a good person in order to lift Mjolnir, to be worthy of being Thor or holding Mjolnir or wielding Mjolnir. Like, you have to have a whole lot more characteristics. Where they started talking about how the reason why Cap could do it in Endgame was not because he's just a good person. It's because he also is a leader. He can, he knows how to battle. And he also knows that sometimes you have to kill your enemies. This is one person's interpretation. Okay? This is one person's interpretation. I'm just reciting what this person said, and I happen to agree with it.
It's just not because you're pure of heart or young.
Yeah,
or
it's not Excalibur.
Right.
It's not because you're pure of heart or you're British.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you have to crush some skulls, and you have to be willing to carry that weight of killing your enemies and saving the innocent. And
it's not special if everyone can do it just because they're good.
Right, exactly. And so that's why Cap could do it and Iron Man couldn't, and why everybody else couldn't. But, you know, like, later on, Cap became worthy of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Spider-Man is a good person.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that he's worthy of Mjolnir. And one thing, another example that somebody said, like during a DC Marvel crossover, I have to look into this, but they brought this up, not me. Like, during a DC Marvel crossover years ago, like, some of our DC heroes tried to pick up Mjolnir and Superman couldn't even do it. And Superman's one of the best people ever, like, mm-hmm. one of the most moral people ever.
Right.
And he couldn't do it, but Wonder Woman could, because Wonder Woman knows that sometimes you have to kill your enemies, and she is a leader of women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She knows how to lead a battalion. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I felt like that was analogous to Tony's legacy, especially Tony's tech.
Mm-hmm.
Tony's technology, which we need to get into, is put in the hands of the wrong person. We see what that looks like.
Right.
Do you really want... Like, sure, I was a good person at 16. I was a moral person, but I was still a 16-year-old.
Right.
I wasn't Peter Parker, obviously. I wasn't Spider-Man.
Right.
But I understand that this person's good and pure, but he's still 16. You're going to give him a satellite which can kill literally anybody on the earth. So let's not even unpack the moral implications of Tony having that satellite.
Right.
Where we even dealt with an entire movie called Winter Soldier about right. that very thing, about how no one should have that kind of technology.
Right. That was kind of a big deal back then.
And then all of a sudden, like, Far From Home is just like, ah, whatever.
Here you go.
Screw Winter Soldier.
Here you go, Peter. You can have that.
Like, you can have have a nuclear bomb that can detonate on anybody you choose and then accidentally almost kill
your classmate.
Proof that he shouldn't have this kind of power.
Right. The backtracking in that whole thing was very like, oh my gosh. I mean,
so that's my long explanation to say that you can't give that to a 16-year-old. He's not ready.
No. And I feel like there needs to be a little bit more history too. Like, we all like him as Spider-Man, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he is deserving of that type of role.
Yeah.
Nor can he necessarily, you know, command the room like a Tony Stark. I mean, let's take the actors. It's just different, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, without some of those characters, the MCU looks very different now.
Yeah.
So you probably need to switch it up a little bit and figure it out. Because honestly, like, think about it. Like, let's get, like, my example of Captain Marvel and Spider-Man. Spider-Man would take orders from Captain Marvel.
Yes. Yes, he would.
It just makes more sense, right? Like, it doesn't make sense that, I mean, Peter Parker is kind of a little bit of, like, you know, he thinks out loud. He, you know, he's just not, he's cute.
He's an awkward teenager.
He'll be like, hey guys, hey, listen up. Hey guys.
Yeah.
Can you look over here? Hey guys. Like, that's how he would lead. That's who they established. Okay. So.
And also, and I'm wondering here, like, what are they trying to tell us? Because it was so confusing to me. Like, okay, he inherited the satellite. Does that mean he inherited Tony's fortune? Does that mean he inherited other things?
Yeah.
Does that mean he inherited a stake in the Stark industry?
Right. Like,
where's Pepper in all this?
That's what I was thinking too. Like, I mean, Pepper at least, like, knew what was going on and, like had experience and, like, they gave her a role in Endgame. Like, she was fighting with him. So, like,
they gave her a suit.
Right. Like, why wouldn't they give her that legacy? I mean, do I think that she could, maybe not, like, her character, we haven't really seen her character in that kind of light.
Yeah.
But it just felt like an odd choice with Spider-Man.
It felt very odd. And I think they left more questions unanswered than they answered.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the problem, because this was billed as a wrap up to Endgame, but it kind of gave me this feeling of, in terms of a wrap up to Endgame, where I go to a 2-hour meeting at work and I'm like, you could have emailed that to me.
it did not feel like they put a lot more hype into it being a wrap up than it actually was.
It really isn't. Like,
no.
In terms of quote unquote wrap up,
it's,
you have an explanation of the 5-year discrepancy with the blip at the beginning, and then you have Spider-Man getting Tony's glasses that control a kill satellite at the end. That's it.
Right. It's not that big a deal. And then you have, like, some stuff with Samuel L. Jackson at the end where he's...
But that has nothing to do with the wrap-up.
No, it doesn't. But I'm just saying, like, I don't know. It didn't feel like it at all to me.
It's just, like we talked about, like, this has some really entertaining moments, but it just felt so messy.
I mean, we kind of talked about Jake Gyllenhaal, but we can talk a little bit more about him now. Yeah.
Oh, did you know that Mysterio was going to be the bad guy of the film?
No. What?
What?
I didn't know at the beginning.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It was so obvious the whole time. It was really eye-rolling. Like, the whole time you're just like, really? We've seen this done.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I mean, I know that there's a formula to every super, you know, hero movie. But, like I said before, Jake Gyllenhaal didn't believe his motivation.
Nope.
And, like, the tie-ins to, like, past movies, they were trying so hard to, like, do fan service that it was just kind of obnoxious and kind of like, okay, Is this where we're going with this?
It's just like when he, like when you realize that, like, okay, so like.
You mean at the beginning of the movie when we realized he was Mysterio?
Well, no, I mean, or like, okay, if you didn't see the trailer.
Right.
So like in the trailer, we all know he was going to be an antagonist because they didn't tell you who the antagonist was.
Right.
That's why.
Right.
Because in any kind of trailer, you're going to see who the antagonist is.
You just are. It's just and the way it is.
Like 99% of the time. I know that there's exceptions. Don't write me. but with Jake Gyllenhaal, like we all knew like there was, it was going to go one of two ways where, okay, so Jake Gyllenhaal is actually from an alternate universe and he's hiding his intentions where he's there to help save you, but really he's there for right. selfish reasons.
Right.
Or it was all fake. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to be the latter. It was all fake.
Right.
And so he wasn't actually from another universe, mm-hmm. which was a little disappointing for me because I was just like, when they showed you in the trailer yeah. that they were introducing the multiverse theory into the MCU, I was just like, this opens up so many possibilities.
It does.
This could be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
not going to do that. But I guess we have this the and Spider-Verse we also, that.
That's true. That's what I was going to say. Like, we love multiverse stuff, but they're doing that over with, you know.
Yeah, so that's fine.
Into the Spider-Verse, so I don't know.
But yeah, with Jake Gyllenhaal, like when he started, like when Spidey was just like, I don't know if I can do this. I can't have this. I can't have these glasses. I'm like, oh God, he's going to give it to Mysterio. And then Mysterio's going to abuse it, and then he's going to take it back.
It also felt like such like a, well, since we hung out together for this amount of time, here's the glasses that were given to me by my mentor. Like, that also felt so weak to me.
So weak.
It was just, the motivations were just so lame that it felt insulting as a viewer.
It did. And that's the thing. Like, some people are, like, there's kind of been, like, this anti-snobbery movement about people saying that films are too predictable, where some people are saying like, well, if you can predict the story structure, then that means that it's a well plotted out story structure, like that it makes sense, it makes logical sense.
To a certain degree.
I understand that rationale. I don't always agree with it.
Because there's a formula.
I'm not saying you need to M. Night Shyamalan me or anything like that with your reveals, but I shouldn't see it coming from the trailer.
Yeah.
And every single step of the way go like, this is where it's going to be. Mm-hmm. This is where this is going to be the reveal. Like, make it, if it's obvious, make it obvious.
Right.
Don't act like it's a big reveal.
Right.
Like, make it dubious. Make him, like, make the audience know from the get-go if you're going to
and
make it obvious.
And don't have him monologue to the people that know exactly what's going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, you could even do that better where if we immediately knew Mysterio was a fake, mm-hmm. that Mysterio was, like, had negative intentions, then that would add more drama
mm-hmm.
to Spider-Man giving up those glasses.
Right.
Instead of making a big reveal that everybody
yeah,
saw.
Yeah, that structure was completely messed up.
Because if we saw Spidey, we'd be like, no, Spidey, don't do
yeah,
it!
Yeah, it's like, don't go in the basement. It. Don't yeah. go, yeah. I don't know. I just felt like Jake Gyllenhaal totally felt like he was just getting a paycheck. And
he barely showed up.
He really did. And we like him. We really do.
Fantastic actor.
But it was just such
it was like
a...
like Ben Affleck in Justice League.
Yeah.
Maybe not that extreme.
Well, yeah. Maybe not. That's man. Pretty low bar there. But it was just... It was... It, you didn't care because he didn't care.
Right. Yeah.
What'd you think about like the drone tech? Did you think that was cool? Not so cool?
I couldn't get... Like, I couldn't focus on... Like, I couldn't enjoy it because the entire time I was thinking, Tony had this satellite the entire time?
Yeah, I thought that same thing. Like, we didn't use it?
Like, we didn't use it? Why does he have it? Why on earth would one person have this kind of technology?
Yeah.
And also, you have Spider-Man who's just like, oh, I shouldn't spy on people's text messages, but I'll have a satellite that can kill anybody on the earth at any time. Like,
yeah.
That's your line.
Yeah.
I'm not going to read.
It doesn't make any sense.
Message.
It doesn't make any sense.
But in
sense.
Terms of the drone tech, like, it's just a lot of people are talking about drones. A lot mm-hmm. of people are using drones in films because it's very prevalent.
It's very relevant.
In today's mm-hmm. society. It, like, the whole holographic thing, you know, I don't know. Like, part of it, I was just kind of like, that's interesting. And the other part of me was just like, that's cheesy. And it's just, it was a lot of things. I had to jump a lot. I got to jump through a lot of hoops in order to try and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of the whole scenes where Spider-Man was in like this weird dreamlike reality where it was all holographic?
But yeah. I thought it was interesting, but then it got became noise.
Okay.
So I thought like to a certain degree, but then they just maybe each sequence went a little bit too long for me, where then I just kind of started spacing out because you're just kind of like watching, you're kind of like having a hard, it's almost like your brain or your eyes have a hard time catching up, because it was like too much.
Yeah.
So, and then they kept like switching it up and like, that wasn't real. That wasn't real. It was just like, okay, I really do feel like your brain kind of says like, all right, well then I'm just gonna give up. Maybe that's lame. Maybe that's just the state I was in when I was watching it. But
I'm gonna go play Pong in the back corner of my brain. It felt like a video game to me.
Yeah, it did.
Maybe because I've been playing a lot of Arkham.
That's true. You have. You've gotten a lot of video game time recently.
I have. Yes, I have. And I've been playing a lot of the Arkham games. And whenever you encounter the Scarecrow, you go through a level that is exactly like that scene.
Where everything's fake.
And... everything's fake. Okay. Everything's not real. Okay. And like it's everybody's like enlarged. And then you're shrinking. And then there's multiple versions of you. And then there's multiple versions of them. It's just like yada, 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 yada. And so that's all that I thought of the entire time.
It reminded me of like a... and certain, yeah, it definitely reminded me of a video game. And especially, like, that type of the CGI and stuff like that. It just, it kind of amused you. And I know I was supposed to. You're supposed to be in that world. Maybe answer this question. Maybe I completely, you know, missed it. But, like, how did he think that he was fighting something and, like, getting knocked around if they were just drones?
Well, the drones were... I think that was something that they could have explained a little bit more. Like, the drones were actually doing damage.
Okay.
Like, the holograms were just portraying the damage in a
different
way.
Because they did have, like, they did have the ability to, like, destroy, right?
Yes, okay. Like, they had to build ability
to shoot
and fire
and everything
like that. I did see
that with the example that they gave. Okay.
Like, so when a column is destroyed, a column is actually destroyed.
Okay.
By the drone.
Okay.
And... but they just made it look like it was a wind monster who knocked down the columns.
Gotcha.
That kind of thing.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. It could have been explained a little bit better.
Yeah. And it was just, again, it was just part of the whole messiness of it. It was just a mess. It was just convoluted. It was too simplistic. Like, it was too simplistic of a story to be that convoluted.
I agree.
And I think that's where I'm getting. Like, the more I'm talking about it, I definitely just knocked off a half star from my rating.
I feel like that happens whenever we podcast. It's either like it goes up or down.
And I usually blame you.
Yeah, I know.
Like, you either make me enjoy something more or less. It's never the same amount.
I know.
It's never like, oh, this is how I feel at the beginning and at the end.
That's right. You're welcome.
It's a journey. All right. Well, we've been going for 52 minutes.
Yeah.
I didn't think that we were going to be going this long about
the movie. Yeah, so what rating would you give?
I wanted you to say
you
it first.
You want me to?
You always rate way harsher than I do. And you ground me in reality, though, because I'm always so forgiving with my ratings. But I originally, like, when I wanted to put it on Letterboxd, I was going to put 3.5 stars. Now I think I'm thinking a solid 3, just because the entertaining moments are really entertaining.
Yeah.
But it's a mess.
Yeah, I think I give it 2.5. Like,
I gave Venom 2.5.
Okay, well, I didn't see Venom.
Okay.
And
so 2.5 to me
is pretty bad.
Is pretty low.
Okay.
But I mean,
I tend to be harsher,
but
though.
Your system, like, according to your system, this feels like a 2.5 for you, but not for me.
I'm glad you approve of my system.
Oh, I'm not.
I'm just messing.
I respect your system. I do. I respect how harsh you are.
I mean, I think it's worth a rental if you don't have anything to do, but do you need to see this to finish an Endgame? No.
No.
You don't need it. And
this does not wrap up Endgame. Honestly.
It really doesn't.
It really doesn't.
No.
Because it's not clear. Like, is the torch passed from Tony to Spider-Man? And if so, how? Is it philosophical?
Yeah.
Is it tech? Is it money?
And if you didn't like Homecoming, then you really shouldn't watch this one at all.
No.
Like,
no.
Then you're not really getting anything. So.
And on top of that, honestly, what bothers me is that Spider-Man One key thing about Spider-Man is that he's poor. He's like a poor student, like a poor college student, and he's trying to get side jobs in order to pay for college. And he's a photographer on the rise and everything, like trying to be a photographer just to pay the bills, and he's always late to everything. But this is the MCU Spider-Man. This is a Spider-Man who has a $1 trillion kill satellite in space.
Yeah.
And yet, you know that Aunt May is going to be driving a Ford POS. And that's what really bugs me. Is that, like, if they're passing the torch on him and he has all this
then
tech,
he should be living in Stark Tower or some like, version of that.
Pepper should be taking care of him.
Yeah.
Why isn't Pepper taking care of him?
Yeah.
If Happy can fly in a Harrier jet to pick him up and he can build whatever type of suit he wants in a 3D printer.
Right.
And he's still living in a crappy, you know, two-bedroom apartment in Brooklyn.
Right. That doesn't make any sense.
Mm, no. Really?
Yeah. Mm. You can't have it both ways.
Put him on the payroll. Make him a full-timer.
Right. Right.
You know, it's just
bad. I agree.
Whatever.
I agree.
But I guess he did have that. I guess they did talk about that at the end of Homecoming where he said, it's like, you know, become an Avenger, you know, live on the compound and everything like that. And he said, no.
He wanted to be a normal kid.
But there could be some middle ground here. Yeah. Like, you get a stipend from Stark Industries. You know, like, just whatever.
Something.
You know, something.
The Stark internship.
All right. Well, there you go, folks. Let us know what you thought of Far From Home. Are we crazy? Was it a totally big reveal that Mysterio was a bad guy? You know, like, maybe you were surprised. Or maybe you weren't surprised, but you still loved it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Let us know what you thought. You can go to thenerdparty.com/contact. Select Nerd Nuptial from the drop-down menu. Fill out the form. It'll send us an email. You can find us all over on social media, on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Our Twitter handle is @JoinNerdParty. Mine personally on Twitter is @TheInsaneRobin. And if you can take the time, go to Apple Podcasts or iTunes, whatever it's called, and leave us a review. If you leave us a 5-star review, we'll mention you on the show. And if you left us a 5-star review and we haven't mentioned it yet, sometimes it takes a long time to get through.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it takes a long time for us to get the email. So we will mention you on the... as soon as we get the information, we will mention it. Sometimes these things can take months. But yes, please let us know. Please talk to us. And also go to thenerdparty.com for all of our other shows, whether it's our other episodes or other shows on the network, whether it's Harry Potter or Doctor Who or movies about that are... distributed by A24, you know, things like that. We got something for everyone at thenerdparty.com.
I love you.
I know.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.